Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed. So you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
And now, from beyond our dimension, this is the Jeff Mara Podcast. Here's Jeff.
My guest is Londell Futrell III, DJ and spiritualist, who had a near-death experience after being shot in his hometown of Oklahoma City. Londell, thank you so much for joining me today, and welcome.
Thank you for having me. Peace, Jeff. Thank you for having me. Appreciate you.
Well, Londell, let's start with a little bit of your backstory that leads into your near-death experience and go from there.
Okay. Well, like you said, I'm from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. I mainly grew up in a Christian background, so deep that my grandmother, she actually went to Jerusalem and visited Jerusalem. So also being in Oklahoma City, we're in the Bible Belt. So it's very, very hardcore religion background and things of that nature. So even if you go out to different like stores and things like Walmart, Family Dollar, it's really like reserved, as I guess you could say. But growing up, grew up pretty much in a, I guess you say, gritty environment. I grew up in the hood, what some would call it. So grew up in the hood, crazy background, seeing a lot of things growing up fast as a child. I got married pretty young at the age of 21. Growing into my marriage, I ended up going through a divorce. Saying that to say, I ended up living with a friend shortly after that time. And that was where I was shot. I was very into spirituality at this point. And I would bring a very convicting energy, as you could say. I would bring a very convicting energy to people in my environment. And it would rub people wrong, this period. I learned how to, you know, kind of be more at ease and peace with, you know, spirituality and knowledge altogether. Saying that to say as well, I was in the area and I was, you know, learning people and teaching people more about spirit and things of that nature. And it was rubbing people wrong. And I ended up getting shot. And I got shot in my back and I got grazed on my neck. I don't know if you can see it, but I've actually got grazed twice on my neck with one bullet. So it was like a matrix graze. It's crazy that I'm still here right now from that situation. But again, I'm shot in my back and I live with one kidney from the situation. So I try to eat pretty healthy as well. But I just remember I struggled with the gunman. I fought for my life, first of all. I fought him and I grabbed him. That's how I was grazed. As I got out of I was in the car when it was happening. It came up on me while I was in the car. And I grabbed him. Bullet went off on my neck and grazed me twice. I drug him to the back of the car. And I threw him down and I woke up. It was like a spirit that came over me, a spirit of protection and defense just came up over me. And I remember I threw him down on the ground. And I started running towards the door where I was living, and shot me in my back. I thought for a split second to play possum and play dead, but I figured I probably should get up and get out of that situation. So I ended up getting up and I ran in the door, shut the door behind me and locked it. And I remember it was a house full of people and everyone just looked at me like, man, what's going on? Like, what happened? It's like, man, I've been shot. I've been shot in my back, man. I shot somebody, called the police or ambulance, whatever, and help me. I need some help, you know? So one of my closest friends that actually lived there, was housing me at the time. He took me to the bathroom, checking me out. I was standing up through this entire time, being shot in my back, just so much adrenaline rushing through me. He was checking me out, and I kept asking him, is my neck okay? Is my neck okay? Is my neck okay? He said, yeah, your neck is good. Your neck is good. Nothing happened to your neck. I said, okay, but I feel something on my neck. It's hot. It's burning. So he sat me down, and I remember falling asleep. I fell asleep for just a while, and ambulance got there, and they told me to walk over to the stretcher. You know, where I come from, you know, that type of thing can happen quite a bit. And it's a stereotypical kind of thing. But I was never one that just really ran the streets a whole lot like that. You know, in my environment, you know, people that do some crazy things, you know, people that are into certain things. But it was like I was going through a strong test at the time, you know, in spirit. So I was told to walk over to the stretcher. I'm like, I don't know if I can. I'm hurt. I'm shot in my back. I'm really stiff. I got up and walked over, and they just started questioning me about, you know, everything that happened. Who did this to you? Who did this to you? So I don't know. I don't know. And they were like, you know. And I'm like, no, I don't know who did this to me. All I know is they were wearing all black. And I ended up getting into the ambulance. They plugged me up with a few things. And I remember going out. I went out and I remember hearing them have a conversation. And they're just kind of thinking they were going over if they should save me or not. They was saying, so what do you think we should do? He's not telling us anything. And you know, is it worth it? I remember hearing all these things, and as we're riding to the hospital, I remember seeing myself there and looking at myself, but also seeing the outside of the ambulance as we're like traveling. I'm like out of my body. And for the longest time, there was this purple colored spirit flying in my essence, in my aura, and it just kept whirling around me and whirling around me and whirling around me. I'm like, what is this? What is this purple? You know, what is this? I just remember it just kept on flying through me, like flying around me. It was like it was trying to cover bases or something. You know, it was like it was strange. I remember I woke up when we got to the ambulance at one point, and they pushed me in, and I just remember them still speaking like a certain way, like, so what happened? Who is, like, you know, trying to figure out what was going on and what they were going to decide to do. And got into the ICU. No, excuse me. I got it to the operation table. I'm not sure where I was, but I ended up waking up on the operation table as well. I feel like my spirit was just extremely high and was trying to wake my body up. And they were just like, man, this one here is just has some high energy. He's fighting. And I remember going back to sleep. They put anesthesia over me again to go back to sleep. And I went back out again. And for the longest, I kept seeing this purple spirit that kept whirling around my body. And it became very dark for a while. And I just remember kind of going over everything that I had been through in life and realizing that everything was like a paradox. Everything was not what it had seemed to be. And it was like I was looking at a, it's weird, not necessarily a notepad chart, but it was like a chart, and it was writing all my wrongs. It was going down a list, and it was writing all my wrongs. It was just saying, like, it was a spirit basically that I couldn't see. It was just like my hands in front of me, and I was like being my own inner God for some reason. But it was strange. And I remember it being a light version, and everything was just kind of like good. Everything was just solemn and peaceful. And I could feel the entire time my spirit like nudging to like wake up to try to control what was going on. But essentially I couldn't just wake up out of that moment for a while. I was really out of it. And spirit kept just whispering in my ear to calm down, calm down, calm down, experience this, slow down. This is the best moment. And going back, I was really getting into spirituality a lot. I was coming out of Christianity, and I was looking high and low, searching high and low for an answer. And spirit was saying, this is the answer. This is what you've been looking for. And I'm like, what? No, it can't be this. You know, it can't be this. And studying Egyptians and Kemet and things of that nature, I knew that they were intrigued with death and learning about death. But this was like extremely close to that feeling. And I was thinking to myself, this is what I said, thinking to myself, but I felt me thinking about all these things that I have been searching high and low for and trying to learn, and it all just began to resonate. It just all began to resonate. And I'm like, wow, this is crazy. And I just felt healed. And this was going on for some time, so to speak. And I remember I was with a girl at the time, and everyone else came to my bedside. I could hear them. I could feel them. And they started crying. You know, a lot of my family members and friends, they started crying like, he's not coming back. He's not coming back. He's out. He's gone. He's gone. And they practically almost was this close to declaring me dead. But the last person was my girlfriend that I was with at the time. She came over and touched me. It was like, baby, wake up. And I woke up just like that. And it was crazy. And everybody in the room was like, oh my goodness. And I had tubes in my throat at the time, my nose, and I woke up panicking. I threw up with the tubes in my mouth, and it was crazy. It was crazy. Everybody just didn't understand it. They were like, this is a miracle. This is a miracle. Like we were literally just about to claim him dead. And as soon as she comes over, he wakes up. And I tell you, man, it's something else. It's something else. And what I've learned is, you know, we can tap into that realm almost anytime. You know, we can tap in through a hard meditation, you know, or, you know, some, you know, different substances from what I've realized. You know, when you take medications and things of that nature, you know, you can kind of tap in to that realm. And it's so intriguing. And it has taught me a lot. It has taught me a lot. And I've been able to teach people and others how to face fears or reality from being able to tap into that realm. And that is my testimony. And it's so powerful to know and to see and to be the one who has survive something like that, because I know a lot of people who never survived anything like that. You know, even animals that go through gunshot wounds, it makes me think differently about animals who go through that too. That kind of trauma is unique. It's very unique. You know, guns were made or man-made, and you know, had we not made guns, you know, we may, you know, all have to experience death in a different way. You understand? So it has taught me a lot. It has showed me a lot. Spirit is like my best friend. And it's just amazing. It's just amazing. You know? So once I got into my body, and I would sleep, I would like try to get back into that resonation feeling again. I would tap in and out and I would just feel it. After I woke up a few times, I wouldn't say that it was scary, but it started to become something unfamiliar again. And I think it was, I don't know if it was the medication from the hospital trying to sober me up, and I mean, not sober me up, but sober my body, because I'm like on an extreme spirit high at this point. But me sobering up and coming back into my body, it started become a black and white thing again, and not a gray thing, you know. And it's just something else. It's something else. It started to bring a fear up in me, because I started to realize that I had survived this, and it made me feel really like different, you know. And it made me feel different. It made me feel strange to the world. So being in my body made me, I feel like it made me grow what we call PTSD, and a fear sometimes to just live a normal life, just doing normal things. And just knowing that I'm in this body, and it feels like I'm trapped, knowing how free I was once before in that other realm. So, I go over it a lot still to this day, just trying to put words to how it makes me feel, you know, how it makes me, what that experience is. Sometimes I go into such a deep meditation, I'll drift over there so far over, and then I come back, and it's like, it's hard for me to live my life like this sometimes, you know. It's like, I either need to be over here or I need to be over here, because so many people you're dealing with around you that don't understand it, and it's like, it's almost misidentifying. But it's something else. And that's how it happened for me. That's how it happened for me.
Wandell, thank you for sharing your experience with us. Did you ever figure out what that purple essence was?
I'm going to say 50-50. I want to say 50-50. I think I'm still trying to identify what that spirit was, because learning more and more about our chakras and things of that nature, I felt like it may have been my third eye completely opening and experiencing completely. And then my crown kind of just speaking to me from my higher self and letting me know that my initial awareness and how we may be birthed into what we call the universe, my initial spark into awareness. That's how I identify it with the most right now.
Did it communicate with you in any way?
All of the whirling around me, mm-hmm. It was like a trillion words. It was not an English language. It was speaking to me. It was as it was going through my entire body, coming up and down and going into through my aura. It, like I said, it was like it was riding on my wrongs, health-wise, spirit-wise, emotional-wise. I just had the answer to everything at the time. I had the answer to everything.
It's like you were tapped into like the unified field of energy and knew everything.
Yeah.
Too bad you couldn't bring it back with you.
Right. Like, yeah, it's crazy. You know, I tell people that like the more that I'm, you know, whether I work a job or DJ, whatever I'm doing, the more that I do here, that essence, it kind of goes away, not completely, but it's like choosing a side, and it's strange. It's really strange. Mm. Really strange.
When you were reviewing the chart of your life, it kind of sounds to me like it was a life review, but just of the good things.
Yeah. I mean, Yeah, the good things as well, but I infinitely was being righted from my wrongs, you know. So all the things that I had questioned or anything that you know, I felt was that I had done wrong, I was brought to justice. I was brought to justice.
Were you judging yourself, or do you feel like you were being judged?
A little bit of both. A little bit of both. Is like I said, it's like a huge paradox. It was like one foot in and one foot out. It was like an experience that it was like a mirroring experience. It was like a mirroring experience. The physical with the spirit, you know, there's not really any rules in spirit. So it was like all the things that I felt were wrong or that I was biased to, spirit was saying, no, you can live freely. You can express freely. You can understand freely. So it was like, it was like a huge paradox. It was strange.
You mentioned spirit communicating with you. Did you actually see a being that represented God, or did you just feel like a godlike or godlike energy was communicating with you in some way, like downloading information to you or something?
Yes. Yeah, so it felt like one of the strongest meditations that I've ever felt. It felt like I was being my vessel was being filled. That purple energy was like a representation of what we would call God, or what you, that spirit you're asking about. That was the spirit. And while that's happening, all that's happening, I'm seeing different things, but they're foreign to my mind as a human. You know what I mean? It's just like so many things happening at once. Like, it's like an avalanche of just experiences. And that purple essence was kind of like that, that being that you're asking about.
After your experience, did you notice that you had any new abilities that you didn't have prior?
That's funny that you say that. Yes. So I have learned how to communicate on a very deep level, and not just with my mouth, but with my body and with my aura. So I can really articulate with words, and I can really, my intuition is extremely strong. So yes.
Do you fear death at all?
Sometimes, because experiencing that side, knowing what opportunity I have here to learn and gather more information, it's not the fear of absolutely dying, it's the fear of not living on this side. So yeah, sometimes I just wish everything goes well, so that I can continue being in this body and learning more and more and more and more and more, and actually being able to share it with people.
At the time that your girlfriend touched you or spoke to you to bring you back, mm-hmm. were you unconscious, or were you outside of your body witnessing it?
So that purple being was actually speaking to me at the time. It was talking to me, and it's funny that you asked about her, because I'm very big into astrology, and I like to associate, she's an Aquarius, she was an Aquarius, and I like to associate Aquarius with the color purple. And I truly believe we are powerful, and we can manifest our reality. So like I said, I was going through a divorce. She was my girlfriend after the divorce, and me and her, we were about to break up. And we were broken up, and I told myself, I don't want to do this anymore. I was really hard on love, and I've always loved extremely hard. And when she's, you know, I don't know if it was, this, I don't know what it was, you know, I don't know if it was me being into my studies so much or whatever, but we just, we went, we were deciding to go our separate ways. And I told Spirit, I said, and I was consciously aware of what I was saying. I said, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. Shortly after, I was shot. But behind me feeling that way, behind her energy, because I was very depressed behind it. And all I could think about was her. So I felt like it was her energy that made me essentially want to end my life. It was her energy that I needed to unlock that. And I associate a lot of that energy with her because me being unconscious in the spirit realm at the time, her touching me brought me back. I feel like I truly think that her touching me was the unlocking to bring me back.
It's interesting because sometimes, or a lot of times, people don't come back until they remember somebody, especially like a family member. But this is a little different because she physically touched you and that snapped you back into your body. Mm-hmm. Are you still with her?
No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm not.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I wonder if she ever jokingly would say, I saved your life. I brought you back.
Yeah, and let my dad tell it, his good insurance. But no, I've told that story more than once before. And, you know, I don't always tell everybody that because, you know, everyone doesn't understand that, but I'm glad you asked that.
What other ways have you changed since your experience?
I'm more calm, I guess you could say. I'm a lot more calm and I'm a lot more patient with people. And I understand life's essence more. So before I could be more judgmental because I was raised Christian and I would just think people were idiots. Like, you're an idiot. You don't get this. How do you not understand this? Blah, blah, blah. Because I was so programmed and indoctrinated. I feel like everyone should have the logistics and the knowledge or the common sense of the Bible, of, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, Jesus and his nature. So now I realize that people are truly a spirit and they have a journey of their own and that they truly have to go through the steps or learn from someone. And I truly understand the essence of learning and how to learn and how people cannot always learn, don't always understand how to learn or when they should be learning. You understand? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What inspires you about your experience?
Knowing that I chose myself. Essentially, I chose myself to learn and become a new spirit after being programmed through Christianity. It inspires me that we are always learning and that we are always growing and expanding. And like I was saying before, to live more, to want to actually live more here and be more, it's a strange feeling. It's almost hard to put in words.
Do you ever ask yourself, why me? Like, why did I survive this?
I do. I try to be really honest and transparent because, you know, when you're into spirituality, you want to be extremely definite, but everything is so infinite. And we have a thought, then we have another thought, and we settle with that one sometimes instead of the first one, you know? So, I ask myself, but I know why, you know, I know why.
Why?
I chose this life, and I absolutely agreed to everything. I absolutely agreed to everything and said, you know, you're the one who's going to be able to explain and express this stuff to people. You're the one who's going to reach new heights in spirituality and understanding, understanding, overstanding these types of things. And this comes with a lot of embarrassment and shame for other people. And, you know, it was that moment before when I told myself that I didn't care if anyone looked at me a certain kind of way for being on this journey and path altogether. And that's why I find it very intriguing that you asked about my girlfriend, because when that point happened, when I was shot, I thought to myself, you did it. You did this. You did all of this. And it showed me my power. And essentially,
do you think that you planned this whole thing out pre-birth?
I believe so. I believe so. And I say that because I've meditated hard and I've asked spirit to show me a past life of myself. It's funny that I go by Chief. I went to a deep meditation once before, and I saw myself in the military, and I was shot in the military as well. And I survived it then as well. And I believe sometimes that I'm in a cycle that I'm here right now to be aware of, to come out of.
Has your friends and family noticed that you changed after this experience? And if so, what do they say?
Yes. So, like I mentioned before, coming from such a street background, a gritty background, we've always been kind of like a lot more expressive and loud and, things of that nature. Now I'm looked at as like really solemn and peaceful and extremely calm. I still get riled up. I'm a DJ. I party and things of that nature too. But people have noticed that I'm patient. I'm a lot more patient. I'm able to learn them a lot more and be more empathetic and sympathetic. And I'm able to resonate with people a lot more than I once was before. When I'm not in fear of living.
Do you feel like you have a mission to accomplish? And if you're afraid that if you don't accomplish it or you don't get it done?
Yes. Sometimes I don't feel like I have a mission. It's like I'm being pulled and tugged on hardly, excuse me. In the realms, it's like a real spiritual warfare. So my spirit loves to thrive in its nature, being in my flesh. It tries to take it away from me sometimes. Being in my spirit, I'm able to thrive. Sometimes I feel like I'm here to just live and be. And my mission is to just living and being, you know, even in some of the most normal, regular ways of living, just being. You ever see a movie where the person is just a good person and people are just learning from their natures and how they just deal with people? That's the mission sometimes. And other times it's for other people like me or people who may be going through depression or who may have traumatic experiences. I'm able to resonate in those terms alone.
After watching this podcast, people may want to reach out to you and ask you questions. Are you open to that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What's the best way to contact you?
You can contact me on Instagram. My handle is DJ Chief, like Indian Chief, CHIEFTR number 3, DJ Chief Trey. I'm open to just chatting or, you know, even doing some therapeutic things like meditations or things of that nature, meditation, sound baths. And, you know, just different tips and tricks, you know, to resonate more with spirit.
As being a DJ, you're exposed to more music than most people. So have you found specific music that you find is great for meditating?
Well, now there are a lot more artists, I would say, from a hip hop background or things of that nature. But I really enjoy binaural beats. I enjoy sometimes just the bass sounds or even high sounds, things of that nature. No particular artist or anything like that, but yeah, a lot of binaural beats for sure.
Imagine putting binaural beats within like dance music.
Absolutely.
Besides your Instagram, can people check out what you're up to on YouTube or Facebook?
Yes. So again, you can reach me or you can find me on YouTube at DJ Chief Trey. Mm-hmm. I began a journey of speaking more about fear and that's an acronym actually for finances, energy, alignment, and reciprocation. So that's covering like from astrology, fitness, and different ways, yoga, different ways to resonate and connect with spirit. And a lot of times when you're coming from, religion or a different background of spirit, you have a fear of, maybe what someone's going to say, shame, embarrassment, or just altogether coming into spirit in your whole nature altogether. So I just want to, allow people, or excuse me, I would like for I would like to invite people to my channel to come speak more. And, actually ask me some more questions or anything of that nature to resonate more with spirit.
Well, I'll put a link to your YouTube channel in the description below. Well, before we finish up, can you give us one last positive message?
Yes. Live and be free, to actually become who all that you really want to be. You have to be okay with being crazy. You have to be okay with being talked about. You have to be okay with people feeling that you might be weird. Do those things anyway, because essentially that is how you leave your mark in the sky, in the esoteric sky. That's how you become a more powerful spirit in nature.
Londell, thank you for that message, and thank you for being my guest.
Thank you so much, Jeff, for having me, and I appreciate you and Mara for all that you do. You're greatly appreciated. Thank you so much.
Well, we appreciate you too. Have a great rest of your weekend.
You too. Peace.
Thanks for watching the Jeff Mara podcast. I really appreciate you. Another way to show support is through YouTube memberships. And if you do, there are loyalty badges and other perks depending on your level of membership. All you need to do is click the join button underneath the video to find out more. Thank you for your support.